I do want to greet you in Jesus' name this morning. Certainly a privilege to be here. I have been challenged by the service this morning. I confess that I was quite concerned about the strong odor of paint that we might have this morning, but I feel like God has blessed us with taking care of that matter for us. I appreciate the hard work that goes into making our church work, the service this morning, the painting going on yesterday. I feel like God will bless us when we put forth effort. I feel like the message this morning is somewhat a continuation of the Sunday school hour. I'd like to look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, where Apostle Paul, in his writing there, we'll read those verses in a little bit, where he says, "So fulfill the law of Christ." But before I go there, I'd like to read Psalm 133. Psalm 133 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." I feel like these verses show us God's will for brotherhood relations, to dwell together in unity. And we can look at these verses several different ways. We could think about how, as brethren, brothers in Christ, we all, each of us, have the Spirit of Christ. We've been anointed with the Spirit of Christ. And because of that, it reaches out into each area of our life, and brotherhood relationships is one of those. It's a blessing. Because of the Spirit of Christ, because of that anointing, it, as it says here, it ran down to the skirts of his garments. It reaches out in everyday life. And also the word picture, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. As I understand it, the surrounding area of Hermon was parched land, but Hermon was a snow-capped mountain, and because of that, a dew went out and watered that parched land. The psalmist here uses these word pictures to describe how it is when brethren dwell together in unity, and I trust that as we go into the message and look at what God has for us, you understand more where I'm coming from. But I just enjoy those word pictures. Okay, you can turn to Galatians chapter 6. Before I read these verses, maybe just a bit of a background to the passage. As we saw in the Sunday school hour of the churches of Antioch, churches of Galatia experienced the same thing. Apostle Paul took the gospel to them on his second and third missionary journeys. This letter was written from Corinth on his second journey because he was so burdened by the needs of the church there. If we read the earlier chapters, you can almost feel Apostle Paul's burden. They had come to Christ. They had experienced the freedom from bondage. And yet these Judaizers had come and deceived them into thinking that they had to keep the Mosaic law. And they were accepting this teaching. They were reverting back to the law because they were being taught that that is how they needed to be justified. And Apostle Paul spends the first five chapters refuting this, so that I think it had special significance to them when in verse 2 of chapter 6 he says, fulfill the law of Christ. I'll read Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. To me, the most important admonition from these verses is fulfill the law of Christ. To me, that's the core of what I want to talk about this morning. If we took those words out, it'd be irrelevant. It'd be impossible to do. Just a challenge that I'd like to leave with you. I'm like Brother Leroy, I don't think there's much danger of us turning to the law like the Galatians did. I think we like our liberty too much. We're not willing to tie ourselves to those restrictions. But the challenge is, do we have things in our lives that keep us from fulfilling the law of Christ? Maybe it's ideas that we have about cultures or different ethnic groups, the differences between rich and poor, or maybe other religions, those ideas that keep us from reaching out to others like Christ wants us to. Those ideas that keep us from fulfilling the law of Christ. I just want to leave that with you for you to think about. I think that was the result of the Pharisees' religion. Jesus had strong words for them. He said, you encompass land and sea to make one proselyte. And that indicates to me that it was extremely difficult for one to join their ranks. And that's not the law of Christ. That's not his desire for us as we live the Christian life and as we relate to other people. He wants us to reach beyond those barriers. So let's look at a few scriptures to define what we're thinking about when we think about the law of Christ. Going back to chapter 5, verse 13 and 14 of Galatians, it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So the law of Christ is love, the law of Christ is service to others. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. It's a verse that probably all of the children could quote. It says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. And usually we stop there. But it says, for this is the law and the prophets. This tells me that dealing righteously with our fellow men, dealing fairly, dealing as we would want to be dealt with, is essential for maintaining a relationship with Christ. And I feel like those words on the end of that verse, for this is the law and the prophets, just add weight to the fact that that is the heart of Christ. That is, all of the law and prophets lead up to this. Or these verses are very similar to Matthew chapter 22, where it says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Just as keeping the law without these two points was futile, so is claiming a relationship with Christ without keeping the law of Christ spoken about here in Galatians, the law of love toward others. It's futile to try to live the Christian life and not keep that. Let's look at James chapter 2, yet verse 8. I know Brother Sim is preaching through this book, and I'm looking forward to what he has to say about chapter 2. But here, verse 8 says, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Here the scenario is given of a rich person coming into our house, coming into our midst, and we treat him with royalty. We treat him with respect. We give him our best. Contrast that to a poor person coming, and we want to, like, put him in the corner somewhere where no one will notice. No one will notice that he's our visitor. We're ashamed of him, and we're ashamed of the impression that he might leave. The scripture here condemns this kind of showing respect to persons. But rather, we're commanded to fulfill the royal law, loving each person as ourselves, not showing partiality, not being a judge of another person, and so on. The royal law is loving our neighbor as ourselves. All right, let's go back to Galatians chapter 6 again. Like to think about the rest of the words here in verse 2. Where it says, bear ye one another's burdens. And I realize that this is written in the context of restoring someone who has fallen. And this is definitely included in what I'm talking about this morning. Although I hope in our minds where we can broaden it out. First of all, we'll think about some negative things that can happen when we fail to fulfill the law of Christ. And yet we try to do what this verse says in bearing one another's burdens. And I know that on the surface that may seem like an impossibility. Like, we can't bear another's burdens and not fulfill the law of Christ. But I think that in our carnality, we can try to do this. And it doesn't bear one another's burdens, but it makes the problems worse. The first thought I have is that it is possible for us to take this scripture and see a way to get out of our personal responsibilities. It says, bear ye one another's burdens, so others can carry my load. We sometimes might feel like that. We don't want to shoulder our load ourselves, but selfishly we expect others to carry our load. That's why verse 5 is here. It says, for every man shall bear his own burden. I feel like Apostle Paul put that in there to balance out this selfish tendency that we sometimes have. For example, maybe we have a fault in our life. Maybe we have, you can fill in the blanks, but just for an illustration, maybe we have a complaining spirit. And everywhere we go, we're negative, we complain, and we just spread that around. Maybe we try to get victory, but we really don't try the right way. And we end up saying, everybody else is just going to have to live with me this way. They're going to have to bear this burden in my life. Maybe that's kind of extreme, but I think that it happens, especially when we do sin and we do not show proper sorrow and we do not take responsibility for our actions in trying to correct our way in the right way, in repentance. We shouldn't make others bear the burden of our faults. Rather, we need to repent of them and ask God to help us and to deliver us. Right along with this, I don't think any of us would openly say this, but it could be an attitude where we feel like we deserve for others to carry our burdens. There are different reasons for this, but remember the law of Christ thinks of others first. Another common problem is we like to get involved in with others' burdens, not really because we want to carry them, but because we have nose trouble. We want to find out all the details to satisfy our curiosity. And we're ready to tell anyone who will listen. And we really make the problem worse. It's not bearing another's burdens in the true sense of the word. Sometimes we might have a problem and we might ask for advice. And we might go to several different people and we ask for advice and we get conflicting advice. One person says this, another person says this, and then we have all that information that we have to sort through. We have to process it before we can arrive at a decision. And that's okay if we ask for advice. But what about if the problem is a problem that someone else is having, and several people tell you about it, and they mix the facts with their opinions, and then you have all this information that you have to process. It makes the problem much bigger than it really is. The Bible name for this is talebearing. Proverbs 18:8, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. Let's not be involved in spreading rumors, in talebearing. Next thought I have is, and this one deals with us being the burden bearer. Sometimes it depends on what kind of a scrape a person gets himself into, what kind of problem they're going through. Sometimes we feel anger. We feel frustrated with them. Maybe we even struggle with despising a person for the burden that they have to carry because it's of their own choices. Maybe they've made foolish choices. We feel like it's their problem. They have to carry it themselves and washing our hands of the matter. But God is asking us to get in there and shoulder the load with our brethren. Verse 3 speaks to us on this subject. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. The Amplified Bible says, for if anybody thinks himself too important to condescend to shoulder another's load, he is deceived. All of us are made of flesh and blood. We struggle with our carnality. We struggle with the fiery darts of the evil one. We struggle with living under the curse, and we are not above another. We have that same possibility of having to carry a burden that is equal to or worse than the person that we're struggling with. The law of loving others as ourselves does not waffle when we think the burden is too shameful to carry. Rather, it holds steady, standing by our brethren, standing by those that are in need, whatever the struggle might be. We cannot go through life with our eyes closed to the sorrows of others and fulfill the royal law, fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ has a heart for people, a heart for their needs, a heart for what they're going through. So let's be sensitive to those, to the needs of those around us. All right, I just have a few positive ways to help us carry the burden of others. It says, bear ye one another's burdens. How can we do that? And I know I'm not telling you anything new this morning. It's the basics of living the Christian life. But the first positive way to help carry the burdens of others is we need to have a heart of compassion. If we will fulfill the royal law, we must have Christ-like compassion, especially when we think about this in the light of others' failings. Compassion doesn't belittle. It doesn't subject others to criticism, but rather our words, our actions will be those that bring healing and comfort. It will be those that build each other up and strengthen our brethren, not words of condemnation. The truth is that none of us deserve the compassion Christ had for us in forgiving our sin. Yet he extended mercy toward us. He has given us opportunity to have a relationship with him. So as his children who mirror his image, we are called to do the same out of love for our brethren. When we have true compassion, we'll not feel like the one who has failed will need to pay for any trouble they may have caused, but will forgive. True compassion forgives. Secondly, and maybe this has more to do with our differing personalities. We all have personalities, and sometimes we say they clash. Some have strong personalities, some have personalities that are not, well, we could just say they kind of go through life and don't make waves. But we need to exercise patience toward each other. Exercise patience. I know the word patience means to endure, but sometimes we think we're enduring, but we do it in a way that we let everybody know that we're unhappy about the situation. But that's not the way a Christian is patient with each other, with another person. Verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13 says, charity suffereth long. Suffering long coupled with charity will put the welfare of others ahead of our own wants and do it with a pleasant attitude. Thirdly, fulfilling the law of Christ calls us to be interested in the lives of others. Maybe what others are interested in doesn't really interest us in a particular way. But we need to make that investment in listening to others talk, relating to others, even though, and hear what they have to say about what they're going through in life, what they're interested in. I notice this more and more when we talk and relate to others in other age groups than our own. Young people have their interest, but if we older people want to have a relationship with them, we need to listen to them We need to hear what they're saying. If we want to have input in their life, we need to hear what they're talking about and what they're interested in. And it goes the same way in, you know, older people. They're going through different struggles than the middle age and so on. We need to listen to each other so that we learn to know each other. And I'm just challenged that we need to even help each other with projects that may not particularly interest us. I think that's what love does. Fourthly, bearing each other's burdens, fulfilling the law of Christ, we will work together. We will work together. Working together provides a wonderful opportunity to learn to know each other better. I know that it's a challenge to sit down in a committee meeting and try to hash out problems. It's a challenge sometimes to come to a decision as a brotherhood. But let's use it as an opportunity to learn to know each other and to become stronger and to become better and to be drawn closer together. Learning to know others' strong points, learning to know others' weaknesses will strengthen the brotherhood of, and we will be able to have a bigger impact in the community. And then the last one I have is let's pray for each other. And this morning, as I thought about this point, I was reminded of Jesus' intercessory prayer in John chapter 17. I'd like to just turn there. Christ poured out his heart to the Heavenly Father, praying for you and praying for me. In verse 11, he says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." We know that the Heavenly Father and his Son, Christ Jesus, work together in perfect harmony. And here Christ is praying that we would be one as they are one. Verse 13, "And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Here he's praying that we might have Christ Jesus' joy in our hearts. Verse 15, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil." And then verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." This is Christ's intercessory prayer for us. But I think we can learn a lesson from him in brotherhood relations and follow his example in praying for each other. I think we need the intercessory prayers of our brethren now more than ever as we live in these evil days. Well, that's all I have. Just want to leave each one of you with the challenge to fulfill the royal law, fulfill the law of Christ in our everyday life. May God add his blessing.